that burns in me.
Well, I gotta be honest with you. I'm going to encourage and motivate some of you, and I'm going to freak out and maybe tick off some of you. So it should be an exciting day. Can't wait to see what happens. But let me start by telling you about Robert. Each day, his alarm goes off at 5:30. Splashes some water in his face, makes himself a cup of coffee, sits down in his favorite chair, and then begins to read his Bible. He's going through a read through the Bible in a year plan, so he's actually reading about 3 or 4 chapters every day. When he finishes, he pauses to reflect on what he read and how it might impact his day. He prays a little bit for some family, for friends, and that he would make a difference in the world. Now, except on rare occasions, the moment Robert gets up out of his favorite chair and leaves for work, he seldom thinks about God. He seldom recalls even what he read. In fact, if you were to ask him, there would be many days where he couldn't even tell you what he read, even though he did read it. And although Robert, he wants to grow in his faith, he feels stuck. He's doing all the things he's been taught to do, and his faithfulness is actually commendable. But he's not living this life of faith and adventure that his pastor describes each week. Now, in one sense, Robert's experience is typical. Many of us who try to read the Bible as often as we can, we can fall into ruts where we fail to internalize biblical truth and not really thinking about how it should impact our day. We don't think about or engage with God's word throughout the day. We're stuck. Let me show you this quote from Eugene Peterson. He says this: "Reading is an immense gift, but only if the words are assimilated, taken into the soul, eaten, chewed, gnawed, received in unhurried delight. Words of men and women long dead or separated by miles and or years come off the page and enter our lives freshly and precisely, conveying truth and beauty and goodness, words that God's Spirit uses to breathe life into our souls. I want life breathed in to my soul. I want God's Spirit to make the Bible pages come alive. And there's no magic potion to drink to make that happen. There's no pixie dust to sprinkle on the Bible. There's no chant to sing and dance to. But there are some practical things we can do to live the Jesus life and experience the life that God intends." So to get us on the same page here, make sure we're talking about the same thing, I want to play a game called Would You Rather? It's very simple. I'm going to ask you a question, and there's no right or wrong answers. You just have to say which you rather. All right, so as an example, to get us started, would you rather eat at Chick-fil-A or Taco Bell? Okay. Hey, by the way, Chick-fil-A, did you guys know? Not open on Sunday. Major corporation, very successful, closed on Sundays. All right, anyway, any Chick-fil-A people? Taco Bell? Any of you say neither? Okay, neither people, you're not playing the game correctly. It's not called would you neither. It's would you rather. All right, you in? Let's do the next one. Would you rather be rich or famous? Okay, any famous people? One, all right, we got the man. The rest of us are rich and we're gonna make you famous. We can pay for it. All right, here's another one. Would you rather always be 10 minutes late or always be 20 minutes early? Any 10 minutes late people?
For some of you, that's an improvement, so that would be okay, right? All right, here's another one. Would you rather make a baby cry or kick a puppy? Oh, that's twisted. Get that off. No, no. What kind of sick person would put that on the screen? Here's another one. Would you rather be a Christian or be a disciple? Ooh. Let me let that soak a little bit. Marinate. Put the little crock pot on. Let that simmer a little bit. Let me try to bring a little clarity to what the word Christian actually means. Because for many of us, let's be honest, for many of us, our understanding is being Christian merely means believing a few things. And if we believe those things, then we are Christian. But that's really a superficial meaning of Christian. And that creates problems for us in the church and in the world, and for those family and members and friends who aren't believers. It creates confusion. Because essentially we have lots of Christians who think that way, but they don't look anything like Jesus, and they don't resemble Jesus' teaching in any way. So the word Christian begins to lose its meaning. It's kind of like the word love. Right, there's lots of, when you say love, what do you really mean by that? Like, let me give you several examples. All of these are true statements, 100% true. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love chocolate chip cookies. I love coconut cream pie. I love pizza. I love the Mets. I love movies. I love reading. I love gel rings. I love my friends. I love Chick-fil-A, except on Sunday. And I love Jesus. Now, love has become a neutered word. Right? Hopefully my love relationship with each of these is different. The truth is, I really love coconut cream pie. Really do. But let's go back to our would you rather question. Would you rather be a Christian or a disciple? Now, keep in mind, the word Christian actually only appears 3 times in the Bible. The word disciple, which is the common word that first century believers used to refer to themselves as followers of Jesus, the word disciple appears like 300 times. So that's the dominant word. And here's the difference in mentalities between being a Christian and being a disciple. A Christian is about what one believes. A disciple is about what a person actually does. Another way to look at it is Christian can kind of become an act, where disciple is always in action. So with that in mind, let me introduce something I'm calling living the Jesus life. You're going to have lots of things. You're not going to be able to fill it all in. If you want the notes later, shoot me an email. But one of these is basically a mindset, a philosophy, a way of living. And then the other 4 are ways to apply that. So that mindset is the J in live the Jesus life, which is join Jesus's mission. And we're going to unpack this in a little bit. The E is engage with God in his word. The S is simplify your approach. The U is unite with like-minded people. And then the S is to stop and reconnect with God throughout the day. But what I want to focus on today is that first one, join Jesus's mission. And Jesus' mission, as we'll see in a little bit, is, spoiler alert, that we make disciples. Jesus' mission is that we make disciples. And when we become disciples, a disciple makes other disciples. All right, let me illustrate with a story. There's a young man, he's looking for a job, and he walks up to a wealthy landowner. and he asks for a job. And the wealthy landowner says, I don't know. Like, well, what's your wage? So the young man asks if he likes chess. The landowner says, of course. What intelligent man does not like chess? So the young man pulls out a chessboard, and he says this. If you will pay me a penny, or if you will put a penny on the first square of this chessboard, that will be my first month's wage. All right, so let's go put it up on the next one. Let me zoom it in so you see exactly what we're talking about, because we're gonna look at this board. All right, this is, that's my first month's wage is one penny. Then at the end of the second month, double it. Put two pennies on the second white square. Then double it again each month until you've filled all 32 squares. After that, after you fill them all in, I will work the rest of my life for free. Now, let me ask you this would you rather question. Would you rather be the young man or the farmer? Let's play this out. Let's check out the board. Here is what the young man would get paid for the first year, right? Each of these squares. If you total those up after a year of getting a penny the first month, two pennies the second month, and so on, doubling it each time, after the first year, the total wage would have been $40.95. Now, except that the young man agreed to this arrangement, this farmer, you know, in many ways, should be like an expose on abuse, you know, in the marketplace. You know, he should be arrested. But, and then in fact, if you look at the next 6 months, again, it continues to double, he only has to pay a total wage of $2,580.48, which amounts to less than $2.50 an hour. Now, are you getting this, like the math, how it's working, it's doubling? So he's making less than $2.50 an hour. And I've always wondered, like, how did this kid survive for this first year and a half? But it's an illustration, so those details don't really matter right now. But it doesn't matter, because he's going to make up for it in the remaining 14 months of the contract. In the last month of the second year, which is the white square number 24, the young man would receive a check for $83,886.08. Suddenly the news story shifts from this criminal farmer to this glowing philanthropist, because the young man's hourly wage has increased from $2.50 to $524.20 and 29 cents an hour. Not bad. That's almost what Pablo makes, right? That's pretty good. But that's nothing, because in 6 months, square number 30, the farmer is going to the landowner is going to write a check for more than $5 million. And if he still has any income remaining, that 32nd and final box, he would have to pay off nearly $21.5 million. The former landowner was short-sighted. He saw the means to acquire a lot of labor at a perceived minimal cost, while the young man knew the power of multiplication. He knew that if he could persevere through some rather lean months, the ultimate payoff would enable him to establish a family legacy for generations. Let me show you how this is connected to Jesus' mission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, core verses here. Jesus came to them, the disciples, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' mission to the church is two words: make disciples. Make disciples. And Jesus' strategy, like the young man, is a multiplication strategy. The landowner had this addition mindset, which churches often take. So let's look at what this looks like. Multiplication versus discipleship. Disciple making is a multiplication model. It's a multiplication mindset. Making disciples means that we are all doing it. We're stacking hands. So it relies on the body of Christ, that we are all doing it. And because we're all doing it, it produces a "God can use me" mindset. And when we have this kind of "God can use me" mindset, the potential impact is explosive. Okay? Multiplication model. This is what Jesus is calling us to do, who he is calling us to be. Now let's flip it. Often churches, I'll just call it a believer, right? Not a disciple mindset, but a believer mindset, just believing. That is addition. Believer mentality is addition. This mentality relies on one communicator. It's usually the paid professional, right? It's folks that will come to church and they'll hear things like "make disciples" or whatever it is, and they'll think, "Not my job. Go get them, pastor. That's what we're paying you to do." Right? It relies on one communicator. And it produces a mindset that says, it's not for me. It's not for me. And as a result, the potential impact is limited. Let me show you the limited. Let me give you an example of ministry by addition. And this is actually going to be very impressive. Churches can do a lot of amazing things, but they can do so much more if they have this disciple-making mentality. Let's just pretend that a church has incredible impact in this year. And in fact, they see 1,000 people come to faith in Jesus every day for a year. That's incredible, right? At the end of a year, you would have how many new believers? 365,000. Incredible. Now let's multiply that by 5 years. Now, 5 years, let's do the math. 365 times 1,000 times 5 years, that equals 1,825,000 new believers. That is impressive, isn't it? I mean, I think we would all sign up for that. This church would be in the news. Church leaders would be coming from all around the world to their conference to learn what's your secret sauce. I mean, that would be incredible. But if they kept this up, in order to actually reach the world population, 7.5 billion people, at that pace, it's going to take 20,548 years. It's incredible ministry that they're doing, but it's going to take more than 20,000 people. All right, let's flip it. Let's think ministry by multiplication. This is Jesus' model. All right, this is the young man's model. Here's the deal. Let's say one person reaches one other person and disciples them for a year. One person discipling one person for a year. At the end of that year, how many people are there? There's two. One person plus one person, two. Now, a disciple, they've learned what it means to follow Jesus, and now they're equipped to help someone else do it. So if those two people each take one person, how many people are there at the end of the second year? Four. It doubled. Two, four. What do you think would be after 3 years? Eight. So after 5 years, there would be 32. 32 Christian disciples. wait a minute, this is Jesus' model. 32 after 5 years? That other model, do you remember how many he had? It's 1.8 million. This is a joke, right? Did I flip them? Did I give you the wrong one? I didn't. If you do the math, it works. If you do the math, guess how many years at this pace it would take to reach 7.5 billion. Keep in mind, the other one, 1,000 people a day, was more than 20,000 years. If this just has 32 after 5 years, how long would it take, you think? How many years to reach 7.5 billion? Any guesses? 600? Who said that? 600? I mean, that would be incredible improvement. 20,000 to 600? Fewer than 33 years. It would take 32 point something years. Do the math at home. Trust me. It works. Isn't that incredible? It's a total shift. We think, oh, if we just keep adding more people, we'll just keep adding more chairs and more campuses and more, and we think we're doing amazing things. And I don't want to dismiss that. We want to add more chairs. We want to add more campuses. We want to increase the budget. We want to give more to missions. We want to make more of an impact, unless we're not making disciples. We could do all of those things and not make disciples. But if we commit to making disciples, the result will be all of those things. See what I mean? Let's go back to the key verse. And I want you to really hear Jesus' heart here. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, Jesus is boasting here. He's kind of posturing. This is very unlike him. But this is like basically his last teaching. And so he wants to make sure they're getting it. And he's basically saying, hey, who's got a better resume than me? No one does. I want you to listen to what I say, because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So what he's about to say next is very important. And here's what he says. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And all of that sounds like, oh, I got to do all these things. No, no. There's two words. Make disciples. That is the command. Make disciples as you are going to work, as you are going to class, as you are working as a stay-at-home parent, as you are looking for work, as you are going shopping, as you are going, make disciples. As you are teaching others, as you are baptizing, helping people connect to the church, make disciples. And we think, whoa, 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 that's overwhelming. I can't do that. I don't know much. Who am I? That's why he says this very last phrase. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Basically, Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, you can do this. You can do this. This is your calling. This is our calling as disciples. Not just believers, as disciples. Do me a favor and pull out this card that you had. Two-sided, I want you to start on the very first side with the name, the contact info. It says disciple making next steps. And there's one statement, and I only give you one option. It says, I want to live the Jesus life and be a disciple maker. Now, don't check anything yes. If your answer is no, that's okay. My heart, my prayer is that you would more and more really get a sense of Jesus' heart for you, Jesus' heart for the world, and making disciples. And you will come to a place where you're like, yeah, I want to say yes. I want to check yes. But don't check yes unless you are willing to change your mindset Don't check yes unless you are willing to surrender your life and say, I am available to you, God. Don't check yes unless you actually have a desire to see friends, relatives, neighbors, people that you don't like, people around the world meet Jesus and develop a relationship with him. Don't check yes unless you truly want to experience what it means to follow Jesus and to make a difference in the world. Now, if that is not you, then just ignore it. That's totally fine. But if you want what I really believe you've always wanted, which is in terms of having meaning in life, having purpose, being able to hear from God, but then doing something with it, I would encourage you to check that. I would encourage you to check that. And on the other side, I'm offering just two opportunities, next steps that you could take right away. Now, our church offers a lot of different ways to make a disciple. Alma was up here earlier saying, hey, we have this prayer service on Tuesdays. You know, that is a way to be part of this process. There's different community groups. There's all kinds of ways. But these are two very specific ones that are available in the new year. This first, it says, I'm interested in a life worth exploring class. And then it explains what it is. You explore the life of Jesus by reading, reflecting on, and discussing the Gospel of John. So if you're someone that really hasn't spent much time in the Bible, this is a great next step because you will learn the discipline of reading a little bit every day. That example I said earlier, the guy was reading 3 and 4 chapters. No. In this, you're reading a handful of verses each day over the course of, I think it's like 10 weeks, 2.5 or so months. It's a great thing, and we offer it 3 times. Offer it Mondays at SC, which means Syosset Campus, Wednesdays at MC, Manhasset Campus, and Thursday here at the Westbury Campus. So this is starting in January. You could check off that, or if you're like, you know what, I can't right now, we're going to offer it again in the fall. Check next fall. But this next one, this is like the secret sauce, so to speak. This is the game changer. It says, I'm interested in joining an essentials group, which means learning to follow Jesus and helping others do the same. And we're going to offer it in January, and we're going to offer it in the spring or even next fall. So on this, we just want to know 2 things. What days are you available, and what times are you available? Because this is different. It's not a class. It's not a big group. It's 3 or 4 people that get together. Now, here's the deal. You're going to get together for about a year. You're going to meet about every week for about a year. Maybe a little less, maybe a little longer. But it's just 3 or 4 of you. And this is where you not only will be learning what it means to follow Jesus, but you will be learning how to help someone else follow Jesus. This is living the Jesus life. This is what Jesus has called us to do, make disciples. And so what I'm inviting you to do is, if you're interested in being a disciple maker, check yes. And normally we collect things like this. When we receive the offering, we say, drop that in the bucket. Don't drop it in the bucket. I'm going to be hanging out by the welcome table. I'd like you to just personally come up to me and hand me yours, because I'd like to shake your hand and encourage you that God is going to use you to make disciples. So you bring that up to me. And it may not be for everyone today, but for many of you, this is what you've been waiting for. And you're like, oh, I don't have time. This guy, that's why we have on here all times. Outside of after, you know, between 12 and 6 a.m., we're saying get some rest. But, you know, the rest of the time, if you're an early morning person, we got you. If you're a late person, we got you. We'll figure it out. Let us know you're interested, and we'll connect you with 2 or 3 others that are interested. This is what you've been waiting for. Because God, if you've asked Jesus to forgive your sin, if you surrendered your life to him, he's put this on your heart. And we want to help you take the next step. Let's pray. God, thank you for your incredible invitation. Thank you for believing that you can use me. Who am I? But who I am is your child. And you want to take me and mold me and shape me into the image of Christ and equip me to help others experience that as well. God, we're surrendering ourselves to you. Would you do something that only you can do? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.